So both say we're on Daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph in Masechta Sukkah. Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph, and we're discussing a brisa which addresses the issue of a sukkah gzula. Now, a sukkah gzula in the brisa is going to refer to a case of throwing someone out of his sukkah. That's called tokeh eschavero motzio misukoso. And that's not a very nice thing to do. And we're going to see that he violates an isur doraisa when he does so. But nevertheless, can he fulfill his mitzvah sukkah in this case of a stolen sukkah? So first, let's talk about Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, for sure it's possible. And the reason for that is a Gemara back in the second perek, the previous perek on Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara establishes that lecha, it says in the pasuk sukkas tasa lecha, and Rabbi Eliezer says lemeute, that comes to exclude sheula.
Or gnuva.
Well, we'll get to gnuva in a minute, but first, the biggest chiddush havi is going to be sheula, because sheula means that even if I invite you into my sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot fulfill your mitzvah sukkah in my sukkah, because just like the Dalet Minim require lechem, so too sukkah requires lecha. That's the unique shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Again, you and I are not familiar with this shita because we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, but you should know that Rabbi Eliezer is really being very consistent, that he's saying this to the same extent that lechem in lekichas lulav requires ownership, so too lecha in the case of sukkah requires ownership. That's number one. Number two, so therefore if I throw you out of your sukkah, then clearly I don't own that sukkah, and I'm not lecha, I don't fulfill that requirement according to Rabbi Eliezer lecha, therefore it's possible. Then, we can talk about the chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer. The chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer never accepted lecha lema'utei sha'ula. And the reason for that, the Gemara establishes, because another pasuk called Ezrach be Yisrael Yeshu Basukos, and Chazal derive that call Yisrael Yoshu Basukah Achas, you can have the entire Jewish community sitting in one sukkah, and that means that you don't require ownership. And then the Chachamim say, so what am I going to do with the pasuk Lecha? You know, if I have the luxury of Rabbi Eliezer to say that lecha comes to lema'utei sheula and require ownership, nicha, then I know why the Torah added the word lecha. But if I hold like the chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer, which means that I don't require ownership and kol ezach b'Yisrael, so what does the pasuk lecha come to exclude? So the Gemara back on Daf Chav Zayin says that according to Rabbanon, it excludes gzula, a stolen sukkah. So if I would ask you at this point in the conversation, and I would try to mislead you, and I would ask you, if I throw you out of your sukkah, and I sit in that sukkah, and I steal it from you, according to the Rabbanan, would I be yotzi in the midst of sukkah? What would be your answer?
No,
because the Torah says, lecha lemutei gzula. So I misled you, and I apologize for that, because the true answer to that question is that, yes, you can be yotzi in the midst of sukkah. And the reason for that is because of a principle called karka eina nigzelus, which means that you can't steal karka. So when I take you and I evict you from your sukkah, I cannot steal that sukkah from you. The sukkah is mechubra lekarka, it's kikarka, and karka eina nigzelus. So therefore the Gemara asks the following question, then why does the Torah add the word lecha? If you're telling me the karka eina nigzelus and I can't steal your sukkah, so why does the Torah exclude, in what case does the Torah exclude a stolen sukkah? So that's what I call the Lubavitcher sukkah. What do I mean by the Lubavitcher sukkah? The Mitzvahmobile sukkah?
It's on wheels.
It's on wheels. So it's what the Gemara calls, it's a sukkah al agaloso. It's on the back of his wagon. And that's a movable sukkah, mobile sukkah. And therefore it's not mechubar l'karka, it doesn't have the status of karka, and it has the status of metaltalin. And therefore you can achieve gzela in the case of a mobile sukkah. That's going to be the psul of sukkah gzula. Then the Gemara asks, well, what if he steals eitzim? He steals wood from someone. Wood is metaltalin, so it lends itself to gzela. And he uses that wood as schach. And the Gemara says, in that case, he's kone, he makes a kinyan on the schach. Why? That's called shinui hashem. Okay, that's a discussion unto itself. What exactly constitutes shinui hashem? Ikara, originally we call it eitzim, and now we call it schach, and it has a different name to it. It's like a passport, you know, if you change your name on the passport, and therefore he's kone b'shinui. Fine. Now, in this very brisa that we're analyzing, the brisa gives another case, and that's called Mesachech Birshus HaRabin. Now, in the case of Mesachech Birshus HaRabin, the Gemara says that Lechora, there's no psul in this sukkah except for Sha'ula. What do I mean? As far as Gzul is concerned, well, whose schach is it? Right, I come into a public area. Right, what would you call it? You have a name for it? A Rosh Hashanah, call it a public square. Right, I come into a public square and I set up a sukkah without any permission. So now, if I do so, is today the yotza? Well, anyway, we'll dedicate the shiur to your mother's memory. So that if I build a sukkah in a public area, I brought my own schach. So I didn't steal anybody's schach. The only thing that I'm stealing, perhaps, is the karka itself. But now we're holding karka in an exelis. Well, if karka in an exelis, then it's not called gzula. The Gemara says that would be possible only according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, l'cha comes to exclude sha'ula. And apparently, even though I own the schach, but I don't own the karka. The karka is public territory, and therefore the sukkah is excluded under the law of sha'ula. So, in other words, it comes out that when we read the second line on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, Tana Rabbanan Sukkah Gzula Vamesachek Birshus HaRabim, Rabbi Eliezer Posel. In both of these cases, we're going to apply the principle of l'cha l'me'utei sha'ula in order to justify Rabbi Eliezer's position that the sukkah is excluded under the law of what? L'cha. Because you might say, well, sukkah gzula should be excluded even according to the chachamim, because the chachamim agree that l'cha excludes gzula. But the answer is, well, holding out karka ain't an exelis. So the only way that I can justify both in the case of a sukkah gzula and the case of Mesachei Pashus HaRabim that the sukkah is psula, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is through the principle called sha'ula, l'cha l'mutei sha'ula, which is Rabbi Eliezer's unique position. And basically what we're saying is that since I don't own the sukkah, I threw you out of your sukkah, or even if I built a sukkah with my own schach, but I built it in public territory, that's considered as if I don't own the sukkah, and therefore it's excluded on the law of sha'ula. Would it be excluded on the law of gzula? So the answer is, well, if it's a case where I threw you out of your sukkah and it's a regular sukkah that's mechubar l'karkas, karkein and exelis, and if it's a case where I put the schach, my own schach, on the Rishus HaRamim, so that would not be included under the psul of gzula, because once again, karka ain't an exelis. Maybe it should be possible midin sha'ula, and the answer is enochinami. We would say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's possible midin sha'ula, and hence the brisa says Rabbi Eliezer posel v'chachamim machshirim.
If somebody throws you out of a sukkah, it automatically makes him the Baal.
No, not at all. Because we're holding now the calculated exelis.
But assuming it's Al Galgal in reason.
Oh, a mobile sukkah. Right. Well, now we need two other things. We need something called Yeush, and we need some sort of a shinui. Whether it's Shini Rishus, Shini Hashem, Shini Maisa, we're going to have to go through all the details about how he accomplishes his kinyan. Okay.
So, because if a man throws you out of the sukkah, out of a mobile sukkah,
yeah,
and then invites you in as a guest, are you yotzer because?
All right, so that question you have to hold on to just for a few minutes. We'll come back to it. I just want to welcome Alan back. We haven't seen him in a good couple of weeks here.
Shusarabim belongs to everybody,
or to nobody. Good question. I don't know.
Is this as opposed to a karma lid? Wouldn't applying the karma lid? No, it's not making any difference.
Well, if we're assuming that public belongs, if it belongs to nobody, then it's like a camel, you know, like a forest doesn't belong to anybody. But if we're assuming it belongs to everybody, then you can differentiate between a camel that doesn't belong to anybody and the Rosh Hashanah that belongs to everybody.
Right.
So that's a good
park belongs to the government, but everybody has a right to use it.
Right. Does that give them bailus? Like it's like a rental, I pay taxes to the government, and if I pay taxes to the government, then I have a right to use it by virtue of the rental agreement. And we paskin that schiris kanya, so it could be that everybody, by paying taxes to the government, makes a kinyan on a public area.
I actually go to something in a forest, in a park in Hong Kong.
So what can I tell you? According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're in trouble. But thank God you're lucky. We don't basking like Rabbi Eliezer.
It was a movable sukkah.
Oh, it was a movable sukkah. Then even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's kosher. Very good. Excellent. And that was where, in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I took it long. I could eat lunch when I was taking care of my grandson.
Okay. It must have been an expensive sukkah. I mean, like real estate in Hong Kong.
It was one of those carryable sukkahs.
Thank you. You carried it all the way from Eretz Yisrael to Hong Kong, or you bought it in Hong Kong?
No, I brought it with me.
Wow.
Okay.
Made in China.
It came back exactly when it started.
That's funny.
That's a good idea.
Really, really interesting.
Okay. Now, I want to introduce here the Pinsker Gadol. You know, there's a city in Lita called Pinsk. And there were a number of different great rabbis from the city of Pinsk, back in Lithuania. One of them, his name is Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Horovitz. And his Torah comes to us in the very back of the Shas Gemara. Okay, now if you have a classical shas and you want to see it inside, here it appears on page Tezayin. They have now in the back of Gemaras, and I can't tell you about your edition, every edition is different, they have something called Yalkut Mefarshim. So if you have that, it should be on page Tezayin. And that's an anthology of different commentaries. So this Rabbi Eliezer Moshe, his last name was Horovitz, from Pinsk. He's called the Abbezdin of Pinsk. He's bothered about this whole sugya. He says that the whole sugya is analyzing the issue of a stolen sukkah, whether or not he made a kinyan, he didn't make a kinyan, or perhaps karkein an exeles, and therefore he never really stole it. The whole sugya hinges upon the principle of lecha lemeute gzula. And this bothers the mind of the Pinsker Gadol. Because what happened to mitzvah bav avera? And he says the following. If I steal some karka of yours, even though we have a principle called karka einin exeles, that's only relevant to kinyanim. I can't achieve a kinyan by taking it out of your rishus if it's karka. So if you have a piece of real estate, it doesn't matter where it is on the face of the globe, it's yours and it's in your rishus, I can't take it out of your rishus. Even if I would lock you out of your property, it would still be considered birshus chokos karka ain't an exil. That's as far as kinyanim are concerned. But he says as far as the lav of lo sigzol, clearly you violate the lav of lo sigzol. He goes ahead and he says you even violate the lav of lo sachmod if you take over someone's karka. And therefore, if you sit in the sukkah as a result of the fact that you stole it from someone, even if that's not considered stealing as far as kinyani gzeil is concerned, so you can never remove it from his rishus, but nevertheless you're violating the lav of gzeil, and therefore that should generate a psul of what? Mitzvah haba be'avera. That's his problem.
What's the mitzvah?
Mitzvah sukkah. I'm saying if he sits in this stolen sukkah, so the Gemara says it's not considered gzula because karkein exeles, so the Pinsker Gadol wants to know, okay, karkein exeles is wonderful, so I can't achieve a kinyan on your karka, but I certainly violate a lav of lo sigzol when I evict you from your karka. And he adds lo sachmod,
fine.
But I mean, what is really the mitzvah of sukkah? Is it just that you have to read the tzeil, or what is involved in it? Because
well, one thing that for sure, you can't violate an avera in order to sit in sukkah. In other words, if the only way I could have gotten you out of the sukkah so that I could sit in the sukkah is by evicting you, then I violated an avera. And if you violate an avera, that's considered mitzvah bob avera. The mitzvah comes as a result of the avera.
I mean, what about when we use the shofar? You steal a shofar.
Okay, so we'll get to shofar in a minute. That's called ein b'kol.
Right.
Well, let's not confuse ourselves, because a kol is a little bit different than sukkah. In the case of sukkah, I'm using the sukkah for my mitzvah. I'm not producing something from the sukkah. Okay, but yesterday we had a long discussion about the Be'iri, if you remember. Okay, fine. But let me just give me a few minutes on both sides to present to you an unbelievable thesis of the Pinsker Gaon. I mean, I found it here in the back, and I find it absolutely mind-boggling. There are like three different chidushim here in one little paragraph. So he says the following: Nirali de be'emes vade hakarka gzulahi. He says that the karka itself is stolen, but he says, page Tezayin, but he says, Ela delo ich paslan bekarka. The fact that, Dr. Joel, you touched on this the other day, the fact that the karka is stolen, that doesn't penetrate, that doesn't project a psul in the sukkah. This is why. You know, we've been assuming that, you know, if you hold karka and exelis, then the sukkah is a sukkah gzula and excluded on the lecha. We're holding now the karka ain't an exelis, but he's saying that's the whole issue doesn't begin. Why? Because he says the lo ich paslon bipsule sukkah bikarka ella bischach. That when we talk about a list, and in the first parak of sukkah we have a long list of psule sukkah, those all relate to the schach. He, by the way, assumes, which again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, that there are no psule sukkah even in the defanos, only in the schach. That's very complicated, because defanos might have the same status as schach for certain dinah. But be that as it may, the psul is not in the karka, but rather in the schach. Oh. So he says the following, that if karka nigzelis, then when I steal your karka, the sukkah is psula, not because the karka is stolen, but because the schach on top of the karka is stolen. Meaning that if you have a sukkah that's mechuberes lekarka, it's attached to the karka, we have a principle called mechuber lekarka ki karka domi, and therefore we view the entire building, this very temporary structure called the sukkah, as one indivisible entity, and you cannot divide it into its parts. And if the karka is stolen, then he stole the schach as well. Now, this is a fantastic chiddush, by the way. Because, what do you mean he stole the schach? He never even touched the schach. You know, gzela requires that you remove something from someone's rishus. And he says that if I can remove a karka, a piece of real estate from your rishus, according to the man, the Omer who holds karka and gzelas, then not only am I removing, when I throw you out of your sukkah, not only am I taking over your karka, but I'm taking over your schach as well. And in a sense, he postulates a kind of an expansion principle here, where the gzela on the karka expands to include what? The schach as well. So if we're going to talk about a case of karka gzula, and he has a sukkah on top of the karka, for example, where he throws out someone from his sukkah, a tokev his chavero, that's going to be a psul based on the halacha of the schach is mechuber to the karka. So it means the psul here of gazul, if you hold karka nigzelis, is not in the karka per se, but rather it's in what? In the schach. And somehow, since I take over your sukkah means I exclude you from access to the karka of the sukkah, I also take over the schach of the sukkah. The schach is one entity with the karka. And the schach becomes gozel as well. So that would be sukkah gzul if you hold karka nigzelis. Now, in the case of a mobile sukkah where it's not karka at all, there clearly if I throw you out of a mobile sukkah, I've stolen your schach. in a direct way. I don't need the expansionary principle. But in the case of Karka Mamish, he says, I have to include this principle. I'll give you his language. He says the following. He says, Kol psui suke rak b'schach. And then he says, I'll prove it to you. Shari Mafurish bi Ezra. It's interesting. He quotes Tanakh for a halachic proof. That in Sefer Ezra it says, Osu sukos bechatseros beis Hashem. You know, Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, and in the Chatzer of the second Beis HaMikdash, they built sukkos. So he asks the following. He says, Ein Bahem Kinyan Klal. He says he doesn't have a kinyan here in the Beis Hashem. You know, the Chatzos Beis Hashem don't belong to him. V'garo mishal shutvim she'ein koch l'shumadum lesar chelko b'nedah. Okay, this is sugya nedarim. V'tikshe l'Rabbi Eliezer. And now I have a question according to Rabbi Eliezer. If the sukkah was situated in the Chatz Hashem, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would be a sukkah she'ula, which is excluded under the law of Lecha. How could it be that the Jewish people set up their sukkahs at the time of Ezra in the Chatzos Beis Hashem? Of course, Rabbi Eliezer requires ownership. So he answers, because all the dinim of sukkah only apply to what? The schach, not to the karka. So even though the karka is Chatzos Beis Hashem, but the schach is privately owned, and whoever builds the sukkah in the Chatzos Beis Hashem with his own schach, he can be rotzei in the midst of sukkah. So that proves, he says, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that all these requirements of lacha, to the exclusion, disqualification of she'ul according to Rabbi Eliezer, or disqualification of gzul according to the chachamim, that only applies to the schach and not to the karka. Ela, to e karka nigzeles, but if you hold the karka nigzeles, sorry, kana bigzeloso gama schach. That the kinyan of gzela, which applies if you hold karka and gzeles, extends to include the schach. The schach and the karka are considered one entity. Aval e ein on gzeles. If he's sitting in someone's sukkah, right, he threw him out, and we're holding now the karka ein on gzeles, like the shita schachomim. He says lo kana schach. He didn't do any maisa kinyan on the schach, because he didn't do a kinyan on the karka, because karka ain't an exelus. Is memela, the schach, is not schach gozel, and therefore he can be yotze. That's only if you hold, like the chachamim, the psul of lecha is gzula. So he says, well, there's no gezel on the karka, and karka ain't an exilis, and therefore there's no gezel on the schach, and therefore it's kosher. Then he wants to go a step further, and he says, memela, he says, ein b'schach shum avera. He says he hasn't violated any avera of gezel on the schach. So therefore he says, she hare im hoysa karka shalo v'aschach shal chavero yochal leshev b'karka shalo. In other words, let's say I stole the schach and I put it on my karka, so it's my backyard, and I take your schach and I put it on top of my sukkah. Then there's no psul of gozel on the schach, because I have right to say to you, well, come and take your schach. I'm giving you back your schach. I mean, this has to do with the sugya baba kama, about who has to come to whom. Does the gazlan have to come to the nigzal, or the nigzal to the gazlan? Let's assume that it, you know, I can say Arishal Cholafanech. I don't have to travel with the gzela all the way to your property and say, here's the gzela, I'm putting it back. I can say to you, come and take your own. So he says, therefore, there's no avera in the schach itself. So if we have a possibility of mitzvah bav avera, which would passel the schach, and only the schach, because again, according to his thesis, all psulei sukkah, including gozel, including she'ela, including mitzvah bavera, they're all limited to schach. So in this case, since I didn't violate any avera on the karka, so you can't say the karka is gzula because it's my karka, then you can't expand the gzela to include the schach. And therefore, he never took away the guy's schach. He's saying to the guy, look, come into my karka and take away your schach. Here it is. And then he goes on, he says the following. Kevan di ein b'schach shum avera. Fine. Im kein b'yeshivaso zos lo ovid midi b'schach. His sitting under the schach doesn't in any way engender a gzela on the schach itself. He's sitting under the schach, but he's not taking the schach away, and he has a right to say to the nigzal, here, take your schach, and I'm returning it to you, and therefore there's no avera in the schach itself. Okay, now we get to the main punchline. All that was just an introduction. Because now he has a problem. The case of Mesachech versus Arabin, he says the following. In Mesachech versus Arabin, the Gemara says that there's a psul. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, excuse me. And what's the psul? L'chora, if you're going to talk about the karka, then you're back to square one, meaning you have to go back to the drawing board where the karka nixelus or ain't an nixelus. Let's hold the karka ain't an nixelus. So what's the problem with Mesachech versus Rabin? Why does the Bryce say Mesachech versus Rabin is possible? Let's assume karka ain't an nixelus. So what's going to be the answer? L'cho excludes what?
Shu'ula.
Excludes Shu'ula. But wait a second. This schach is my schach. So if it's my schach, then why should that be called Shu'ula? And according to his thesis, Rav Horowitz, the all of psuli sukkah only apply to what? To schach. If it's my schach, then what's the issue over here? Does everybody follow his problem? Because if you don't commensurate with his problem, you won't appreciate his answer. His answer is mamash radical.
I'm not fine.
Okay. So here's his question. The Brisa says that there are two cases that the sukkah is psula according to Rabbi Eliezer. The first case was a sukkah gzula, means I evict you from your sukkah. And if I do so, then it's not my sukkah, it's your sukkah. And that's called she'ula. It's not called gzula because karka ain't an exelis, but still, l'cha, according to Rabbi Elazar, excludes she'ula. I don't own this sukkah because I threw you out of your sukkah. And then we have the case of Mesachech b'shus Aram, which means he sets up his own private sukkah in a public area. According to the Chachamim, who don't have a requirement of ownership, everything is simple. You can only pass the sukkah b'toras gzula, but we hold karka in an exelis. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, we require ownership in a sukkah. I can't own a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. So a sukkah that I don't own, which is called she'ula, the status of she'ula is chal on the sukkah. And in a minute I'm going to ask you which part of the sukkah, according to Rabbi Elazar Horowitz. And once it's she'ula, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I can't fulfill my mitzvah on a sukkah she'ula. Now I'm going to ask you the fine question. What part of the sukkah, I'll give you three choices, is not yours? It's borrowed. You can always say, well, maybe the karka is borrowed. You can say the dvanos are borrowed. You can say the schach is borrowed. Well, according to Rabbi Elazar Menachem Horowitz, it's got to be the schach. Because if you want to call it and classify it as she'ula, and therefore say it's excluded according to Rabbi Elazar under the pasuk of lecha, you're going to have to say the schach is borrowed, and you don't have ownership on the schach. Why don't you have ownership on the schach?
You're
a step ahead of me, right? Right? I mentioned that yesterday, but what we're up to is here. We're up to the question. You're already on the answer, but in the question, he's saying the following. That he builds the sukkah in a public area with his own schach. So the schach itself is not called she'ula. And if it's not called she'ula, then why does the Braisa establish that this sukkah is psula? Why is a sukkah psula if I build with my own materials a sukkah in a public area?
So when you...
No, but again, we're holding now that karka ain't an exelus. So if karka ain't an exelus, you can't take the karka and expand it to the schach. The schach now stands on its own two feet as a separate independent entity. So mimonav shachi could be yotze with this sukkah. But Torah's gzula, you can't talk about a gzula because it's mechubal karka. It's not a mobile sukkah, and karka ain't an exelus. So you can't take what you're going to say, the schach. Well, what's wrong with the schach? It's not gzula, because it's his own personal schach. It's not she'ula, because it's his own personal schach. So he says that the answer to this problem, why mesachik b'shus harabim is possible, he says, the svir leila Rabbi Eliezer, kehach tana, because Rabbi Eliezer holds like one particular Tana in Masechta Bava Kamma, who holds, quote, Kansu Gufan Atu Shvachan. Okay, I'm going to write that on the board here. Okay, so you'll have it, because you don't have the text, I don't think. Do we have a... Okay. Whoa. There's not too much space here. Do we have an eraser here?
Yeah, I think you can use it.
Okay, there's probably an eraser. It usually falls on the floor here. Okay? So I want to write this down. This is a Gemara in the Masechta Bava Kamma. And it's called Kansu Gufan. I'm sorry. Again, I have to erase it. Kansu Gufan Mishum Shvachan. Okay. So let's explain. This, I mentioned at the end of the shiur yesterday, you take your own straw. Okay, it's called Teven in the Lashon of the Gemara. And you illegally place it in Rishus HaRabim. You usurp the rabbim of their smooth use of a public thoroughfare. Why? Why did you do such a thing? Why did you lay down this tevin in Rishus HaRabim? You want to trip up people so they'll fall and hurt themselves? You're not a malicious mazik. So the Gemara says he did it because he wants to gain something financially. What happens? The horses trample on top of the straw, and by softening the straw, it becomes zevel, it becomes fertilizer. So the Gemara goes through different kinds of materials that one might be tempted to put down in Rishus HaRabim, and it becomes zevel, it becomes fertilizer. So instead of having to manufacture fertilizer, you save yourself all that money and all that tear, because the people are stepping on it. They're stopping on your temple or cash. But he wants to get a shvach. He wants to gain something. So the Gemara says that because he put down a barbershusarab means something that would cause people to stumble and trip. So kansu means they penalized him, and they took away his tevin. They said, "You no longer own the tevin," which is called kolakodim zocha hefker. Anybody who comes along and sees tevin that was deliberately placed in Rishus HaRabim, not somebody who dropped it fell out of his wagon, but if it was deliberately placed there, then because he's motivated to do this, the person who put it down, Mishum Shvachan, we're going to take away Gufan. We're going to take away the principle itself. That Tevin, it's worth, I don't know, we'll call it 5 shekel. How much is Tevin worth? But let's say it's worth a couple hundred shekel. It's got a significant value. And that's what Dr. Joel was referring to when he said, when he invoked the principle of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which means that Bezdin could take something out of your possession even though you possess it. So technically, according to the Torah law, you would own it, but the Rabbanon undermined and usurped your ownership because they want to discourage people from setting up a bar Rishus HaRabim. Bar meaning a ditch, you know, digging a ditch obstacle. In Rishus HaRabim. What's it called?
Obstacle
in Rishus HaRabim. Okay. So he says that Havi Schach Hefker, because he set up his sukkah where? In Rishus HaRabim, his schach becomes Hefker. Because when you usurp Rishus HaRabim, there's a halacha called Kansu Gufan Mishum Shvach. Now, does anybody have a question to ask you? Kansu Gufan Mishum Shvachan, that's only in the case of Barbish Sarabin. Now, unless you're absolutely blind, Nebuch, when you see a sukkah in the Rishus HaRabim, what are you going to do? You're going to plow through the sukkah? Tevin or Kash is something that's on the ground. And the Gemara says, "Ein darkin shel bnei adam lizbonin b'drach." You know, people don't go, they don't walk around like this, you know, looking at the ground, and you're tripping people up. So then you deserve a knas. But Rav Horowitz is now applying this principle of the knas in Rishus HaRabim to the case of building a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. Sukkah in Rishus HaRabim, that's called a bar? that's something that, you know, you're gonna be able to, you know, you're gonna worry about the possibility that somebody's gonna trip and fall on the sukkah.
Where is it?
No, but what if it's blocking the way? Sometimes.
Oh, excellent. So what do you see from Rav Harovitz?
The whole sidewalk.
You see a gewaltige chiddush from Rav Harovitz. He's being mechadesh that the principle in the Gemara is not limited to a stumbling block, but rather it applies whenever you are taking advantage for your own personal benefit, your own personal use of Rishus HaRabim. So in other words, it's not Meiniach Barbers to Sarab Miskansu Vifkiru Es Mamar, but rather we should reformulate the Gemara. And the Gemara is saying is Kol Misha Mishtamish Brishna Sarabim. If he's benefiting from Brishna Sarabim, he has no right to do that. Everybody has equal rights to Brishna Sarabim. It's a place where you walk by, or today I guess you'd say you go by with an automobile. And this guy decided he's going to plunk his sukkah down in the middle of Brishna Sarabim.
So what do you do?
So the Rabbanan said it's we're going to institute a knas, and the knas means you no longer own the sukkah. So what was his cash? His cash was, what do you mean he doesn't own the sukkah? As far as the karka is concerned, karka ain't an exelus, so he never stole the karka. El, what are you going to tell me? It's not his schach. What do you mean it's not his schach? It is his schach. He took his own schach when he built the sukkah, which is a rabbit. And he says that the only way you could understand our Gemara from Eliezer is if you insist that the principle of Kansu Gufan Mishum Shvacha, that in order to stop you from usurping Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and using this area that's dedicated for the Rabbim, we're going to be mafkir your nechassim. You took advantage of setting up your sukkah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You have no right to do that. And the Rabbanan are going to step up to the plate. They're going to go one step further. They're going to say, we're going to be mafkir your sukkah. You no longer own the sukkah. So the schach, which was yours a minute ago, is no longer yours. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says, l'chol emutei what? She'ula. And there's a positive free condition in sukkah that you have to own the sukkah. Is you no longer own the sukkah. Why? Because you set up the sukkah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. This is a fantastic chiddush. Who looks at this Gemara and says that the reason why Mesachik Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is possible, well, it can't be possible because of Gzula, because Karkein exels. And what do you tell me? It's She'ula? Well, all the psulim of sukkah, all the requirements of sukkah apply to what? The schach, it's his schach. So he took his schach and he built a sukkah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why is it a yotze? Comes along Rav Horowitz, it's a fantastical equation here. I mean, the Gemara doesn't breathe a word about the sugya of Kamlo. And he says that it doesn't matter whether you put a bar down versus a rab, bar lav dafka, even if it's not a stumbling block. But if you have taken over versus a rab for your own purposes, we're not going to allow you to do that. And how far are we going to go in order to dissuade you, discourage you from putting down something versus a rab, even if it's not a bar? We're going to be mafkir. We're going to take it away from you. And if we take it away from you, in the case of sukkah, you're in deep trouble because you don't own the schach, and now the schach is schach she'ula, according to Rabbi Elias. But now I have a different question to ask. I still don't understand what the man is batting about. The Gemara says, Kansu gufan mishum shvachan. Under what circumstance would a person be tempted to utilize Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for his own purposes, and then the Rabbanan are going to step in and say it's hefker? That's because mishum shvachan. He's motivated by the fact that the Rabbim are going to walk and trample on his cash, his tevin, and he ends up with zevel, and he makes a buck, he makes a profit on the deal. That's called shvachan. So the Rabbanan said, you know what? We would have taken away your shvach, and we'd have left you as the proud owner of the tevin. So let's say, for example, the tevin was worth 10. Now it's worth 20 because, you know, the horses came and made it into fertilizer. So we'll give you the 10 and we'll take the other 10. No, Chazal say we're going to go a step further. That's called knas. Not only are you being, are we going to rip away from you, rob you of your profits, but in order to guarantee that you would never be tempted to do such a thing, we're going to rob you of your principal. Are you with me? That's called Karen, the Karen itself, were goof on in the Gemara's line. But Ribbono Shalom, what profit is the man, what a profit accrues to a man when he builds a sukkah?
The mitzvah.
The mitzvah. This is an unbelievable chiddush. I went through, I'm just being dramatic now, don't take me literally, but I went through the sugya in Bava Kamma 50 times, and I didn't see anything about shvach mitzvah. I saw mishum shvachan, and that's the case the Gemara addresses in Tevin and Kash, which became zevel, and now it's worth twice the price on the market that it was worth before it became zevel. I didn't see anything about shvach mitzvah over here. This whole approach to the Gemara Bava Kamma is a fantastical chiddush of one gadol in the city of Pinsk. And it's a twofold chiddush. Number one, he's being mechadish to me that even if I'm not putting down a bar in Rosh Hashanah, because no one's going to, presumably no one's going to trip on this hut, you know, which you call a sukkah. Again, it's going to be a hassle. They have to go around. Or in my case, in where I live in Aranof, it means I can't park the car in front of my house because my neighbors decided they're going to put their sukkah up there. See, I'm a big shot because we have a nice sized back porch for our sukkah. A lot of our neighbors, you know, they have a dinky little porch, you know, that's sitting room for two people only. The rest of it is under the guy. So they need to put their sukkah somewhere. And some of them, Baruch Hashem, have very large families. But it's just a nuisance for me, you know. You can imagine on my street, which is called Rehov Sholzen, that part of the street which goes from number 2 Sholzen to number 16 is what's called a Kvish Pnimi. It's an inner street. So you actually go off Sholzen, you make a right turn. From number 2 to 16, there's about 2 inches of airspace. The rest is just one sukkah after the other. So I have to park during sukkahs. See, it wouldn't bother me during sukkahs, but it usually takes place a week before sukkahs, and some of the neighbors are very nice about it. They take apart their sukkah the very next morning. That's because the Shulchan Aruch says that you should begin preparing for Yom Kippur and take away your sukkah. Anyway, so I'll just tell you a quick story. I was in my friend Rabbi. Anybody know my friend Rabbi Shurin, Yitzhak Shurin? Anyway, he lives out in Neve Yaakov. So I remember visiting him. It was during the Shemitah, actually, so I know exactly when it was. And he lives on the bottom floor. So what happened was, so he builds a sukkah on the bottom floor. That's his private property, which is fine. And as we're sitting in the sukkah, from one of the higher sukkahs, because it's a very tall building, comes all sorts of rubbish. And it falls through the cracks of the schach, and it lands on the floor of Rabbi Shurin's sukkah.
It's got a kosher sukkah.
And then about 10 minutes later, somebody comes knocking on his front door. It's a young boy, you know, a young teenager. And he apologizes. He comes into the sukkah, and he picks up the potato peels and the eggshells and the rest of it he leaves on the floor. So he looked at our faces, and he saw that we were very surprised. He says, Kedusha Shviz. He only picked up the potato peels because they had Kedusha Shviz. Anyway, Rabbi Sol Salanta would have given 5 drushes based on this story about a fakrumta yiddishkeit. Anyway, so leaving out all my sukkah stories for a moment, so we're going back. So he has 2 chidushim here. Let's just review the 2 chidushim. Number one, he assumes that any time you abscond with Rosh Hashanah, use it for your own purposes, and now you inconvenience the Rabbim, and you have no right to use the Rosh Hashanah in that way. You set up your sukkah.
Where does he get that from? I mean,
he's assuming that when the Gemara says that you put down kasha tevin, it doesn't mean kasha tevin and only kasha tevin. There's no gzeiros hakosav of kasha tevin. Kasha tevin is just an example of using Rosh Hashanah when you have no rights to use it. The Gemara says during the rainy season you have rights to do certain things out in the public area because the rains will wash it away and so forth and so on. But other things like Kash and Tevin, you're not allowed to put in Rosh Hashanah because people will trip on it. So he says it blabbed after Kash and Tevin because people will trip on it. But any structure that utilizes Rosh Hashanah, Shalom Rosh Hashanah, meaning you had no green light and no license to use Rosh Hashanah, we're going to cancel you and we're going to take it away. But he's extending the Gemara because not only is the Gemara limited to the case of a bar, which I doubt if you can call a sukkah a bar, but also the Gemara says mishum shvacha, that this institution, this enactment on the part of the Chachamim of Hefker Bezen Hefker, was because a person is motivated to make a profit on the deal. Now to expand it and include the case of, as Menachem said very well, the mitzvah of sukkah, for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah, he's going to be motivated to build his sukkah, and we should also institute this knas. You know, that I found like a double whammy chiddush here of the Pinsker.
The Zman Hazeh, which I think Beis Din does not have the power of Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, would be mutter to build this in the public domain.
It could be, this we have to know a lot more about Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, that Hefker, Beis Din Hefker applies in certain scenarios when Beis Din makes an enactment, a takana, throughout. Meaning, if you have one Beis Din, they can institute it for all posterity. Until you have a Beis Din Gaon Mimenu B'Chof Meminyan to repeal the original Beis
Din. Is he using this? Wait,
Avi wanted to say something. Sorry. Good. I'll get right back to you.
Are we using a halachic definition of Shabbos, what is considered Rishus HaRabim, or is this a weekday different definition?
I think here Rishus HaRabim is more of a Dini Mominus halacha, meaning I don't know if it has to have, you know, all the qualities of Shish and Ribu, you know, according to many Mishonim on Shabbos.
Talking about height, I think 10 Tfachim is the end of a Rishus HaRabim, if I recall.
Yes, that's
above
true.
Above that, sure. It's no longer Rishus HaRabim, something else called a Bumptur.
Right. Right, so that I don't think that's relevant to our discussion.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because again, you know, Rishus HaRabim might be requiring Shishim Ribui for Shabbos. I don't think we're talking about Shishim Ribui. The Gemara Bava Kamma is talking about any area that anyone in the entire community has rights to use. Yeah, Don?
Is he using this as an example of Mitzvah Havera?
No, he's saying the following. He's saying that this has nothing to do with Mitzvah Bava Havera.
Okay.
He's saying that if karka ain't exelis and you're using your own schach when you set up your sukkah rishus harabim, then if it's your own schach, there's no din of gzela here. But the problem is that you don't own the schach, and Rabbi Eliezer requires that you own the schach. What do you mean I don't own the schach? I paid good money for the schach, but the rabbanu were mafkir it. Why? Because I had no right to use the rishus.
What do they do? Do they move it away, or what do they do with it?
Well, I don't know exactly whether they can force him to move the sukkah or not. That's a different question. But he doesn't own the sukkah.
But he doesn't. There's no uftu to it. They don't move it.
No. The uftu is that he won't be motivated to do such a thing. You know, we're gonna warn him like this. We're gonna say to him, "Look, buddy, you want to build a sukkah with Rishus HaRabim? You should know you're not gonna be able to in the midst of sukkah. Why? Because it's not your schach." So he yells and he screams, "What do you mean it's not my schach? It's my schach! Here's my Kabbalah. You know, I paid good money for the schach." The answer is, the Rabbanu and Mafkir, this schach. He'll think twice next year when he builds his sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. And every time he goes into the sukkah, he makes a bracha, leishay basukkah, and it's a bracha vatol, because he doesn't own the sukkah. And Rabbi Eliezer holds, l'cha l'mute sh'ud.
And we don't hold by this, obviously.
Again, we don't have the psul of she'ula because we don't require lecha, right? We hold like the rabbanan.
I'm talking about the fact that
lecha is only stealing a mobile sukkah.
I'm talking about that all your neighbors put the sukkah out on Rishus HaRabim.
So that we have to go through Shulchan Aruch. Maybe if we have time, you know, I just want to. There are a few things that I want to accomplish today because I really want to get on to Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Yes, okay. But I think we have to do a good job on Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph.
Is lecha only for yourself? Only. First day, or is it all the whole week?
Pashas the whole week, because the halacha is lecha l'me'ute she'ul. That's a separate psul in the gufa shel schach. L'me'ute she'ul, I meant to say. Did I say gzula? I meant to say.
Oh, you said she'ul.
So take a look at the Gemara now, and I want to see how we can read through this Gemara according to the Pinsker Av Beis Din. The Gemara says the following. Omer Rav Nachman, this is about four lines down from the top of the Om. Machlokes b'tshetokev eschavero v'otzio misukoso. You have that?
Yeah.
So I evict you from your sukkah, Rabbi Lezel Itame, and Rabbi Lezel says, I cannot fulfill my mitzvah by sitting in your stolen sukkah. Why? Because Rabbi Lezer is very consistent. The Omar, Ein Adam Yotzei Chovaso B'Sukaso Shel Chavero. Even if he invites you into the sukkah, that's called what? Sheula. Oh, the Gemara says there's another way of understanding Rabbi Eliezer, and that is Karka Eina Nigzeles. That maybe Rabbi Eliezer also agrees that Karka Eina Nigzeles, but nevertheless Sheula he. Even if you'll tell me that it's not gzula because karkein and exelis, if Rabbi Eliezer would agree to karkein and exelis, it's still disqualified under the law of sheula. Rabbanon savri, Rabbanon litamayhu, di amri odom yotzi dechovaso besukaso shel chavero. We're holding now that you don't have to own the sukkah in order to fulfill your mitzvah of sukkah, and therefore it's not she'ula. I mean, it is she'ula, but it's not possible with Torah she'ula because the Torah never disqualified she'ula. And then it says, "V'karka eino nigzeles." I, the Rabbanan, agree that the word lecha comes to exclude gzula, but this is not a sukkah gzula because I cannot steal, I cannot take your karka out of your rishus. And therefore, the sukkah she'ulahi, it's a borrowed sukkah, which according to Rabbanan, you could be yotze your mitzvah in a borrowed sukkah.
Why do they assume
it's shu'ulah? I'm going to lose my trend here. Avol gozal eitzim v'si... This is the thrust of Rabbi Nachman. This is the punchline of Rabbi Nachman. Says Rabbi Nachman, not Rabbi Nachman from Uman, this is Rav Nachman a little bit before that. Okay, so we'll call him Rav Nachman as opposed to Rabbi Nachman. He says, Avol gozal eitzim, if he stole wood, v'sichech bahem, and he used it as chav, divrei hakol, everybody agrees that he makes a kinyan on the schach, and once he makes a kinyan on the schach, it's neither she'ula, he owns it, nor is it gzula, because he owns it, he doesn't have to return it. Ela ein lo el dmei eitzin. And all the nigzal has recourse to get is dmei eitzin neval. Okay, now we get to the, this is the point I wanted to bring out. Mimai. How does Rav Nachman know that in the case where you steal Eitzim, there's no machlokas, and even Rabbi Eliezer, who requires ownership, would agree that this sukkah is a sukkah kshe? How do I know this? Again, you could argue it logically, but the Gemara wants to find the textual support for Rav Nachman. And it says the following. Midik tani dumya dirishus harab. Please underline those words. What the Gemara is doing, or Rav Nachman is doing, is he's activating a certain methodological principle that applies to halachic texts, whether they're Mishnayos, whether they're Brisos, Gemaras, and that's called dumya. Dumya means that if a Briso, or for that matter, a Mishnah or a Gemara, brings down two cases, two scenarios in one breath with the verdict, you know, the final ruling at the end of the presentation of two scenarios, then that final ruling applies equally to both cases. Did you follow what I just said?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as you followed it, that's called dumya. The word dumya has a definite specific meaning all over Shabbos. Dumya means I have a right to assume that there's a lowest common denominator to both these cases. So let's talk about two cases mentioned in the Brice. Case number one is a sukkah gzula, and case number two is mesachech birshus harabim. So the Gemara says the following. Marishus harabim karka lav didehu. There's no way, no how, that he could make a kinyan on the karka. Why? Because this karka belongs to the rabim. Is sukkanami lav karka didehu. In the case of a sukkah gzula, it's not his karka. Karka lav didehu. So let's try to understand how the Gemara is applying this principle of dumya. Rav Nachman wants to assume that if you steal Eitzim, that's a whole different story. Meaning, even Rabbi Eliezer would say that if you steal someone's wood and you use it as schach, you're yotze in the mitzvah of sukkah. I mean, it's a fantastic idea. Just imagine to yourself a bunch of rabbis that are sitting together in a sukkah and the schach is stolen schach. Says Rav Nachman, they're all yotze in the mitzvah. And that's going to be the introduction to the next story about Ahi Savta, you know, that old lady, and so forth and so on. So Rav Nachman insists that in the case of stealing Eitzim, you're Yotze the mitzvah of Sukkah. Fine, we have a logical explanation for Rav Nachman based on the halach of Shinui Hashem, but that's not for us. What I'm interested in now is the textual analysis. Where does the Gemara find a textual source from this brisa that there's no machlokus in the case where he stole Eitzim? And the Gemara is saying because the subject of this brisa is karka. What do I mean by karka? We have two cases in the brisa. The first case was sukkah gzula. Again, you can argue that the sukkah gzula means either he stole the karka or he stole the eitzim. We don't know. But then the second case is going to reveal what the first case is all about through the principle called dumya. What's the second case? Misachech birshus haravim. Now, in the case of Masachek Rishus Aravim, there's no problem with the Eitzim. Those are his own Eitzim. But the problem is with the Karka. Namely, that it's not his Karka. And if it's not his Karka, then the key of keys here to understand the common denominator between Sukkah Gzula and Masachek Rishus Aravim is that it's not his Karka. And if it's not his Karka, then we have a Psul. Because he threw someone out of his sukkah. The sukkah is a classical sukkah that's mechubel karka, and that karka belongs to the nigzal. And now the psul of gezel will extend from the karka to the schach. Correct. So if I throw you out of your sukkah, that schach is stolen schach. What gives it the status of stolen schach? Because the karka was stolen, right? I didn't steal the schach. I'm only sitting in the schach. I didn't in any way remove your schach. You know, come and take your schach whenever you like. So I didn't steal your schach. I stole your karka. How do I know that the case of sukkah gzula must be a case where I stole the karka? Maybe it's a mobile sukkah and I stole not only the karka, I stole the entire sukkah, including the schach. Because of the case of Masachek Rishus Harabim. Whose schach was it that he put down in Rishus Harabim on top of his sukkah? It was his schach. So what's the problem with the sukkah with a Masachek Rishus Harabim? The problem is the karka. Again, I don't feel that you're hooking into what I'm saying. Do I have to do a dance here to wake you up? What should I do? Should I use what do they call it in Scotland? What are those bagpipes? Do I have to bring bagpipes, or if anyone here plays the drums? You know, what do I need to wake you up? Again, listen carefully. The question is how to interpret the word sukkah gzula. Rav Nachman says the word sukkah gzula means the karka was stolen, not the eitzim. It means that he went into somebody else's sukkah and he locked him out of his sukkah. And Rabbi Eliezer says that that's a sukkah psul. How do you know? Maybe I'll be the devil's advocate. Maybe he stole the eitzim. It says sukkah gzula. The word sukkah means schach. The schach was stolen. Can't be, says Rav Nachman. I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the word sukkah gzula means that he stole the karka. And he did not steal the schach. I'll prove it to you, because in the same breath, the Brisa gives a second scenario. What's that called? Everybody help me out here. Misachech birshus harabim. In misachech birshus harabim, it was his own schach. And in the worst case scenario, you could say he stole what from the rishus harabim? From the rabim. The karka. He didn't steal the schach. He stole the karka. And that's going to prove that dumya, that sukkah gzula, means he didn't steal the schach, but rather he stole the karka. Now, I want to now look at this gemara from the perspective of the Pinsker Av Bezdin. In the case of schach, of mesachek b'rishus harabim, right? What's the reason why he's not Yotzi his mitzvah?
He doesn't have the...
He doesn't own the schach. What do you mean he doesn't own the schach? It was my schach. I paid for it. I built a sukkah in Rishus Rav. What do you mean it's not my schach? Says Rav Horowitz, it's not my schach because of Chonsu Sofa, Tchilas Mishum Sofa, right? Gufa Mishum Shmach. It's Hefker Bezden Hefker. It's not my schach. So how do you classify that? In Hilchus Psul. What's the psul in the schach? It's a psul of hefker, of she'ula. Do you follow me? What does she'ula mean?
Bar.
I don't own it. I don't own the schach because schach is hefker. Now let's go back to sukkah gzula. I remove you from your sukkah. Correct? If I remove you from your sukkah, comes along Rabbi Eliezer Menachem Horovitz, and he says that since I stole the karka, the din gezel now on the karka expands to include the entire entity, including the schach. So the schach is schach gozel. Now the psul is sukkah gzula. Again, according to the Chachamim, that's not true because karka ain't an exel, so even the karka is not stolen. But if according to Rabbi Eliezer I hold karka an exelus, then it's a chalos gezel on the karka. And now says Rav Horovitz, the chalos gezel includes the entire entity all the way up to the schach. So the schach is schach gozel. So this is very odd. The Gemara is applying the principle of dunya when it's not dunya at all. According to Rav Horowitz, the two fundamentally different psulim over here, the psul of Masachik Bishus Aravim, has nothing to do with the law of Gezel. It has to do with the law of Hefker, Bezin Hefker, which makes it into a psul Sukkah Sha'ula. I don't own the Schach because the Rabbanu were Mafkir the Schach. But in the case of a Sukkah Gzula, which means that he was Tokev as Chaver and he threw him out of his own Sukkah, there the psul is in the karka itself, because the karka itself is gozel. New Rav Horowitz asks himself the following question: how can there be a psul in karka? We never heard of any psul in sukkah in karka. All the psulim are in the sukkah. The answer is that the schach is also stolen. Why is the schach stolen? Because since he stole the karka, and Rabbi Eliezer is holding that what? That karka and exelus, therefore the schach that's connected to the karka is also stolen. And therefore, it's a sukkah gzula. So we now have an unbelievable pshat here. We're talking about this called litzdadim katani. Litzdadim meaning it goes in two different directions. We're talking about proving that sukkah gzula doesn't mean that he stole the schach. There's no problem with the schach per se. The problem is in the karka, because karka exil. And we're proving that from the case of the sachek versus a rabbin. There, the problem is where. In the schach. Why is it in the schach? Because since he absconds, whatever the word is, with the rishus of Rabbin, the Rabbanan said that your schach is no longer your schach, and therefore it's a sukkah shu'ula. It's mind-boggling because the Gemara wants to equate the two and prove that sukkah gzula is not a psul in the schach. It wasn't that he stole eitzim, and I'm going to prove it to you from a sachik rishus of Rabbin, which is a psul in the schach. How can you prove from a sachik rishus aram, which is a psul in the schach, that sukkah gzula is a psul in the karka, and not in the schach? Because if the psul of sukkah gzula is in the schach, then it means if I steal your eitzim and I use it as schach, then the sukkah is psula. And Rav Nachman says, no, if I steal your eitzim and I use it for my sukkah, the sukkah is sukkah kshera, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. And I'm going to prove to you that this brisa, says Rav Nachman, is not addressing a case of a psul in the schach from the case of a sachik rishus aram where he used his own schach. Yeah, but according to Rav Horowitz, it's not really a schach. Why isn't it really a schach? You really paid for it? Because hefker bezin hefker, because konsu gufa mishum shvach. Very strange Gemara over here. And the Gemara is activating the principle of dumya. When there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. The first case of sukkah gzula is a psul of gozel, and that psul of gozel begins from the karka because karka nigzelus and shoots up and encompasses the schach. Whereas the case of mesachik b'shus aravim, there the psul is in the schach itself because he doesn't own the schach. Very strange.
To the schach altogether, because if there's no sukkah.
Right, because you see, Rav Horowitz wants to circumvent the problem of Nisobab Avir. So he refuses to assume that the schach is stolen, because if the schach is stolen, that's going to be a problem of Nisobab Avir. I mean, he has a lot to say about that. So he wants to say that the problem here is not that he stole the schach, but rather the problem is that he absconded with Rishus HaRabim. He had no right to do so. And even if he can't steal the karka, the Rabbanan are going to say, you don't own the schach. So the psul is not because of stealing the karka, it's because you don't own the schach. And that's called Hefker Bezin Hefker. Okay, Rabbosai, now I want to show you a very, very interesting Tosfos. We touched on it, but we never really exhausted it. If you count up from the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, about four lines up, it says the following: Lo matza esrog. He couldn't find an esrog. I always say when I see this Gemara that you turn back the clock not so long ago. It wasn't so easy to find an esrog. Today, Baruch Hashem, you walk into an esrog shuk hadalad minim, and all you get is choice anxiety. You spend hours because every time you pick up another esrog, you think it's nicer than the previous one. See, you just don't know. It's like going shopping and you're buying cereal for your kids, and every cereal looks so great. You can't buy every single cereal, so you get choice anxiety. But back in the day, it wasn't necessarily so that you can get an esrog. So let me ask you a question. This is just for drama's sake. If I were to ask you, I can't find an esrog in the market. So let me ask you the following question. So take a pomegranate. Right? It's a beautiful, beautiful fruit. It smells good. Take a mango. Take a quince, which I don't know what that is, but
it's like a plum.
A plum. Rashi calls it a courinia. Did you know French, Harvey?
No.
Even if you knew French, you probably wouldn't know, because this is ancient French. But Art School says it's a quince. Do you ever hear such a thing, a quince?
Okay. Yeah.
Somebody told me it's full of bugs, a quince.
What?
It's full of bugs. You really have to cook it very well to remove the tolon. That's what somebody told me. I don't know if it's true or not true. So what would be your knee-jerk response?
Quince today in Israel is called a chavush.
Chavush, right.
No, so that's what the Togoman brings.
Yeah, chavush. If you take a look at the Mitar game in the back, you'll say chavush. So let me ask you a question. I don't have an esrog. Should I take another fruit? What would be your knee-jerk response?
No.
No. It's not an esrog. It's like a lemon, you know what I mean? It's a murka.
It's a specific fruit.
Correct, the Torah specifies. It's got to be an esrog. Even though the word esrog doesn't appear in the Torah, but we have Torah Sheval Peh. Okay. So the Braisa says exactly that. The Braisa says, Lo Motza Esrog, Lo Yavi, Lo Parish, Velo Rimon, Velo Dover Acher. No substitutes for an esrog. Comes along Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on the Amud, and he says, "Yesh l'dadik mikan diim lo motza kosher mevarch bepasul, mi the nokat parish o rima." Why did the Braisa have to tell me about another fruit? Why did the Braisa tell me about an esrog that's pasul? What's the difference between an esrog that's pasul, like a yavesh? I've less is esrog, I can throw it and kill somebody. It's so hard. And the case where he doesn't have an esrog and he takes a quince instead of the esrog. Why did the Braisa have to limit itself to the case of another fruit? Is it mashma? Can we midadik from that if it would have been an esrog, but albeit it's a posel esrog, then that I should take? And why do I say I should take it, even though it's posel? Why do I get that impression from Tosus that I should take it?
Mevarek.
So comes along the Sfas Emes, and he says, "I have no clue what Tosus is batting about here. Yesh l'dadik. This doesn't make any sense." The Gemara says clearly that the reason why you don't take another fruit is because you would have a havamina to take another fruit. Kidei shelo tishtokach toras esrog. I'll explain as we go along. Kamash Malon, the Braisa wants to tell me a chiddush. And that is Dilma Misrach. That maybe if you take another fruit, then somewhere down the line, generations hence, they'll think that you can take another fruit. Take the fruit of your choice. After all, the Torah doesn't specify an esrog, at least in Torah Shemitzah. It says Prietz Hadar, beautiful fruit. Says the Sfas Emes, the entire discussion in the Gemara here is about whether or not we can allow you, we can give you license. A person doesn't want to feel left out of the mitzvah. For whatever reason, I'm not going into the psychological analysis. It reminds me of a certain Mr. Nussbaum, all of Shalom. If he was alive today, he'd be 150. I remember he used to take the largest esrog that you ever saw. It was a Teimani esrog. And to get that in Brooklyn, 50 years ago, wasn't so simple. Everybody had their own shtick, you know, when it came to the Dalet Minyan. I was once at the Kotel. I saw a guy holding a lulav. I'm telling you, it reached the top of the Kotel. It's crazy. I mean, people have all sorts of, and then with the kaishaluch and the rings and the whole thing, you'll see everything that you ever dreamt of. The worst thing is watch the chazan when he does nanun, and watch how confused the people are. They have no clue what's going on in nanun. Neither do I, by the way, because I went through the Mishnah Berurah. He's got 18 different shittas of what nanun is. So I am very confused about nanun. Okay. Anyway, so this guy, he wants to take a pomegranate. He loves pomegranates. He has no esrog. Okay, so for whatever reason, he's motivated. He wants to shake instead of an esrog, a pomegranate. He doesn't have a pomegranate. I mean, sorry, he doesn't have an esrog. So the Braisa says, I have a chiddush for you. You're not allowed to take another fruit. Why? Because if you're going to take another fruit, then osi lemisrach. Down the line, who knows what's going to happen? People are going to think, or your great-grandchildren are going to think. Can imagine the following. My Zayda, all the shalom, he took a quince. My Alta Zayda, on my mother's side, she took a pomegranate. And my Alta Zayda's uncle, he used to take a mango. So basically, you know, I don't have to be frumer than my Alta Zayda. I mean, if he took another fruit, I'll take another fruit. So the Gemara says, Osi l'misrach. Don't you even entertain the idea of taking another fruit. It's too dangerous. Osi l'misrach. Says the Sfas Emes, what does this have to do with the case of an esrog posel? That wasn't even on the radar screen. The Braisa wasn't even discussing the issue of an esrog posel. What kind of yesh l'dagdik? You want to come to... The whole issue in the Gemara is whether we can give you license and permit you to take another fruit, or do we have to worry about osi l'misrach, and therefore we're going to have to tie your hands behind your back and totally object to your taking another fruit? What does that have to do with an esrog posel? That wasn't in the discussion. What's this yesh l'dagdik over here? What did Tosfos have in mind when he said that I have a digduk, I have a meticulous reading of the Gemara? The Gemara is only talking about whether you're allowed to or not allowed to. Tosfos, for example, says in the case of an esrog posel, what should you do? Take the esrog posel, and not only take the esrog posel, but bench esrog on it. In other words, Tosfos is talking about a chiyuv. He's not talking about whether you're allowed to do it or you're not allowed to do it. He wants to know, do you have a mitzvah, asher kitshanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu, to take an esrog posel? I got last year's esrog. It's as dry as a rock. And I'm going to make a bracha on it, says Tosfos. Because why? Because the Braisa says, I'm not allowed to take another min. But it doesn't breathe the word about taking an esrog that's posel. I'm going to make a bracha on the esrog posel. Says the Sfas Emes, that's not what this is all about. This, there was never a havamina that you could make a bracha on something that's not an esrog. The havamina was, can we allow a guy to do so? If for whatever crazy reason he thinks it's a good idea, he came to the conclusion that he needs some sort of memory device, you know, some sort of a fake esrog, so that next year hopefully he'll remind himself to take a real esrog. So he had a thought process. He had a very good, you know, reason why he wanted to take another fruit. No, says the Gemara, that's a bad idea. But again, the issue is not, you know, to take something that's not an esrog and make a bracha on it and say you're chayav in the mitzvah shekinshanu, it's also mitzivanu to take a mango. What was Tosfos havamina here? At the end he says, if you look at Tosfos, he says v'yesh lidchos. But you know, before the yesh lidchos, you know, what was there before the yesh lidchos? Gevaldige kasha des Sfas Emes, you know, it's So Sfas Emes gives the following explanation for Tosfos. You ready for this? I don't know what's more brilliant, you know, his kasha or his teretz. His teretz is also brilliant. He says that Tosfos had a problem. What was Tosfos' problem? If the Gemara was vacillating back and forth on Isur or Heder, meaning are you allowed to take another min, or you're not allowed to take another min, then you could cross out an entire line from the Gemara. That's completely out of place. The Gemara should have said the following, and then we'll see the text of the Gemara inside. ma pshita, right? That was the most kasha. Why did the Bais have to tell me that you don't take another min, a substitute fruit for the esro? Mal de tema. So the Gemara could have said the following. Mal de tema, I might have thought, shari lemese minachrina. If he wants to take another min, it's mutter. Kamash malan, no asi lemisrach. And it's also, we're not going to allow it because of the possible kilkul that could come down the line. That's not what it says in the Gemara. If you look in the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Ma'u de Tema, the first two words in the line is about ten lines down from Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Okay. Ma'u de Tema. Is it on this page? No.
I have
it. Okay. Mao the tame, I would have thought. Lase. What does lase mean? Bring what? A quince, right? Lase.
What is this?
This is about approximately 10 lines down on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Wait a minute, that's Amid Aleph, so it can't be on
no,
that page.
Lamed
Aleph Amid Beis. There it is, Don. See it?
Yeah.
Okay. Harvey, you see Mao the tame? Mao the tame. Lesu. What does lesu sound like to you, Rav Osai? A heter or a chiyuv? Lesu. Let him bring the other min. And I'll tell you why we should obligate him to bring another min in the ma'od the same on the halamim. Ki hechi delo tishtakach toras esro. So that they won't forget down the line that there's something missing here. We need an esro. So in the Ma'od de Tema, this is what the Sfasemis points out, the Gemara adds an extra line over here. The Gemara just sort of said the following. The man is motivated for whatever reason to take another fruit. He doesn't have an esro. You know, he wants to show up in shul on Yom Tov and he doesn't want to be embarrassed. I don't know what. You'll come up with some psychological reason why he wants to take what he considers the most beautiful, you know, the international beauty contest fruit. You know, his most beautiful fruit. So Ma'u de Tema, I would have thought, shari, that it's mutter to do such a thing. I mean, he doesn't lose anything by it. Kamash malon, asi lemisrach, it's asur to do it. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara gives a whole spiel to explain why he takes the other men in the Havamina. Not only takes the other men, but he's encouraged to take the other men. Nay, he's required to take the other men in the Havamina. You know why? Kidei shelo tishtakach toras esrog. In other words, the Rabbanu made a takana in such an extreme situation where the man has no access to an esrog. In order, kidei shelo tishtakach toras esrog, they required him to take another min. The other min is going to remind him of an esrog.
You don't have that anymore.
Again, Rabbosai, we can argue the psychology ahin and aher, but you have to hear the Sfas Emes. Forget about whether you find the Svarach strange or not strange.
It is.
I want you to put on your Hilchas Diuk Svarach. Your Hilchas Diuk cap. You know, or glasses. The Diuk here is important. The question is, here's the Sfas Emes' question. What was the vacillation between the Havamina and the Maskana? The Sfasemis in his Kashas thought the vacillation was between Rishus and Isur. And therefore he says the whole Deek of Tosus falls apart. Because there was never a Havamina in the Gemara to say that there's a mitzvah to take another min. And therefore Tosus is absolutely outrageous if he says that there's a mitzvah to take a puzzle of Esrei. Even in the case of another esrog, there was no havamina to make a bracha on it. The question was, the guy wants to do it because the Israelis would say nichnas lo druk bavosh. He has some craziness. He decides he wants to impress everybody. Oh, I got a nice. I didn't find an esrog, but I found a mango, a beautiful smelling mango. Right? Counsel on Sfasemis, and he says the following. If the vacillation here in the Ma'od Seim and the Kamashbon was between Rishus and Isur, then the Gemara didn't have to give me a whole song and dance about why the man is motivated to take a quince. Namely because of the logic called Kidei Shalot Ishtachak Torah Yisrael. Since the Sfasemis, you see that the Gemara was vacillating not between Heter and Isur, but between what? Chiyuv and Isur. The Maalad Seima was that you have a Chiyuv, and the Rabbanu would make it into a separate Takana to encourage you and even require you to take another min. That was the Maalad Seima. Kidei Shlo Tishtakach Torah Esesro. Leisei means the Rabbanu are going to require you to take the quince, because otherwise the whole Torah Esesro is going to go down to oblivion. Kamashvul, and no, it's Asur. What do we gain by this, Rabosai? The Diuk of Tosus. In the Hava Mina, there was a Chiyuv to take another Min. The Maskana is that there's no Chiyuv to take the other Min. On the contrary, it's Asur to take the other Min. But that's only because he's taking something that's not an Esrog. But had it been an Esrog, then the Rabbanan would tell you that you're obligated to take the Esrog. Kidei Shelo Tishtakach Toras Esrog.
Even if it's possible.
Even though it's possible. No, if you're obligated, then make a bracha on it. So we now have two categories, says Tosus in his Havamina, of mitzvahs Esrog. Asher Kitshon Mitzvos Mitzimono. We have one mitzvah to take an Esrog, that is kosher. Now we have another mitzvah, which is not Doraisa, but it's the Rabbanan, of taking an Esrog possible. In the case of another min, Dilma Asila Misrach, my great-great-grandson is going to quote his Alta Zeda that he took a quince. But in the case of an Esrog possible, it's dried up. He'll understand that if he can get a moist Esrog, then that would be his first choice. We don't have this svara of Dilma Asila Misrach. And on the contrary, the Gemara says in the Maalad Teima, Leisei Kedei Shelo Tishtakach Toras Esrog, says the Sfasemes, the Havamina was from one extreme to the other. The Havamina was that there's a chiyuv to take another min. That we're going to reject because of Dilmas and the Misrach. You're not allowed to take another min. But that's only because you're taking something that's not an Esrog. Says Tosus, Yesh L'dagde, that if he had another Esrog, albeit a Pasula Esrog, then because of this logic, this compelling logic in the Havamina, which the Gemara would accept Lamaskan in the case of Apostle Esrog, of an Esrog Ayavesh, namely, Kidesh Lo Tishtakach, there's a Chiyuv to take the Esrog, and therefore you make a bracha on it. This is the unbelievable Chiddush Sfasemes. He's saying that there's a line in the Gemara that's completely, in Yiddish we say Iberic, I don't know how you say it in English, it's superfluous. Because drop this line. Don't give me a whole song and dance about why in the Havamina we feel. He wants to take the Esra. He wants to take another fruit. Tut Mirepis, you know, beat him up for it. You know, why should we beat him up? Okay, yeah, he won't be out to the mitzvah, but at least he's happy. He's a happy man. It adds to Simchas Yontif, you know, so let him take another min.
Because he doesn't have anything else.
Because he doesn't have anything else. So let him take another min. Says the Sfasemes. If you're telling me that the Gemara is vacillating between can he take another min or is he not allowed to take another min, that has nothing to do with Tosfos. Tosfos wants to say if you have an Esrog Pasul, there's a chiyuv to make a bracha on it. How could Tosfos have the audacity to take that diuk? The Gemara was never even raising a possibility of making a bracha. Says the Sfasemes. Here's what Tosfos read into the Gemara. Why did the Gemara have to give you a whole thing about Dilma Shalotish Takach, what? Toras Esrog. It means the Gemara was not vacillating between the Havamina and the Maskana, between Heter and Isur, but rather between Chiyuv and Isur. Now Tosus is Medaik. Okay. So in the case of a substitute Min, the Gemara's Maskana is that not only is there no Chiyuv, Kidei Shalotish Takach Toras Esrog, but there's even an Isur. You're not going to even allow him to take another Min because Dilma Asila Misrach. But that only applies in the case of another Min. But if he takes an Esrog Pasul, then we go back to the Havamina. And Kidei Shalotish Takach Toras Esrog, let him take an Esrog Pasul, let him make a bracha on it. Again, he won't fulfill his mitzvah d'oraisa, but he'll fulfill his mitzvah d'oraisa. One second. Just give me one more minute. The Sfasemes says, I don't like it. I don't know why he doesn't like it. I love it. But he rejects it. See, the intellectual honesty is just mind-boggling. And he says the following. He says, if the Gemara has Dilma Asi L'Misra in the case of another min, then Kolshkein alachas kama v'kama in the case of an esrog posel is a dilma asi l'misra. Nobody would imagine that you could substitute a quince for an esrog. I mean, you got to be mamish loco moco. But to take an esrog posel, you know what? It once was an esrog, you know, it looks like an esrog. Maybe it still has a little shmek of an esrog, a face. So my Alta Zeda took an esrog from the previous year. You know, as I say, it's hard, it's so hard that, you know, the Mishnah later on says that, you know, during the Hoshanas they started pelting each other with an esrog. You know, imagine if he had last year's esrog, that's even a worse ammunition. But my Alta Zeda took a posel esrog. What it means is that apostle esrog b'shas adchak, you know, if I have nothing else, is also kosher, and I'm going to make a bracha on it. Says the Sfas Emes, if the Gemara's maskana is a dilma osi lemisrach, the Gemara wanted to tell you a bigger chiddush. You know what? Even in the case of a pomegranate, there's a dilma osi lemisrach, which is a radical chiddush that we should worry about people who are going to take pomegranates. But it was upgraded, it was understood with the Kalvachomer that you should not take an esrog if it's possible, because that's still Masi Lemisrach. He's going to quote the Alta Zeda with Bud and Pays, and he and the Alta Haim, he took a possible esrog.
So why does Tosfos say you have to make, you should make a bracha?
So we're back to square one. So Sfas Emes now offers a second approach to understand Tosfos. I just want to know what time it is, that's all. Okay, it's 10 after. Question is if I can fit this all. But again, Rabosai, are you following the logic here? Yeah. It's back and forth and back and forth. The only apology I owe you here is that we didn't get to the Mishnah Berurah. So, B'li Neder, again, I'm afraid to say we'll get to the Mishnah Berurah tomorrow, because I get so profoundly involved in this sugya that I love this sugya. Because it teaches you how to learn. You know, you see how this Sfas Emes, you know, sweat it out, you know, how to read the Havmin, how to read the Skana, what was Tosis thinking when he's had a Yesh L'dagde. Oh. So he wants to say the following. I'll read it to you, just because I don't want to mess up here. He says the following. Gam b'havamina yad'inan, the Gemara knew right away, even in the Ma'od D'Tema, di osi l'misrach b'esrog posel. This is the Sfas Emes is very shtark. He's not willing to give up on this. In the case of an esrog posel, there's also osi l'misrach. The Gemara understood that very well. El desfir le'letosis, what was Tosis's deal? That there's no difference between another min and an esrog posel. They're equal as far as dilma osi l'misrach, as the kilkul that could come in. El didiku atosis, what was Tosis's question? Midalo nokta habraisa shalo yavi esrog posel. Why did the braisa tell me, don't take a posel esrog? This was Tosis's deal. Kshmamina delo ichpas landi osi lemisrach be mishum dibidi even esrog posel kosher. Wow. This is, what can I tell you? Why? When we say that an esrog is either kosher or posel, says the Sfas Emes, what it means in the Havamin of Tosfos is what happens if you have two esrogim in front of you? One is kosher, one is posel. What am I going to tell you to take? Obviously the kosher. But with the Eved, if he took the posel, he was yotzei the mitzvah. The hairstyle mice, have you ever heard of such a thing in your life? It undermines everything that we know. This is the Yud Gimel Likrei Hadas over here. He's telling me that an esrog posel is only posel chatchila. So Rabosai comes out the following, according to Sfas Emes in the Havamin of Tosfos, there are three categories of esrogim. There's one category which is kosher. There's one category which is not an esrog at all. It's so posel that you can't even think of taking it. It's worthless. And right in the middle is something called an esrog posel. And if it's an esrog apostle, that means, according to Sfas Emes, that it's an esrog. But you have another choice. And if you have another choice, take the one that's kosher. But if you went ahead, for whatever reason, he doesn't go into detail, and you took the esrog apostle, then be the Eben Yuriyotze, because it's still an esrog. albeit it's an Esrog apostle. And therefore Tosis thought that Memela Yivarech Alov K'shol Yimtza Acher. Since in the case of B'diavad, if he went ahead and he took the Esrog apostle, he was Yotze the Mitzvah, then in the case when he has no choice of another Esrog, then Lechatchila we're going to advocate that he take this Esrog, which is apostle, and he's going to make a bracha on it. Is therefore it means again, if you have another esrog, don't even dream about taking an esrog posel. But if you don't have any other esrog, since b'dieved had you taken that esrog, you would be yotzei. Here lechatchila, we're going to advocate that you take that esrog. And that was Tosus's diuk. Again, we have to stop for mincha now, but I just want to again review a whole new pshat in this Tosus. My Rebbe used to always say, watch out for the short Tosis. Those are the most challenging ones. What Tosis wants in Yudaik is that why did the Brisa tell me don't take another min? The answer is because there are two categories here. There's a category called a lemon. You know, it's not an esrog, it's a pomegranate. And then there's a category called an esrog posel. And Tosis thinks that the reason why the Brisa went out of its way to say don't take another min and didn't say don't take an esrog posel is because an esrog posel is only posel lechatchila. Another min is worth nothing, but an esrog that's posel is still an esrog. Don't take it lechatchila. You have another choice. Memela says Tosus, if you have no other choice, you only have an esrog posel. You're going to make a bracha. Why? Because since b'dieved had you taken it, you would be yotzei. Here we'll lechatchila, and we're going to tell you to take a bracha.
Reading a lot into the brisa, because the brisa doesn't say that at all. Bryce says, Pasha, lo matza esrog. That means that includes a posel and a rug and a regular.
Not according to Tosis, otherwise the whole deal could Tosis falls off. Again, that much, when that far we're not going. No, so we recognize the deal of Tosis. And Tosis says that the Bryce only says you're not allowed to what? You're not allowed to take another min, right? A parish and this and that, but doesn't say anything about an esrog posel.
The only problem with Tosus is that they brought it, so that is.